You're listening to Radio Pulpit, and it's Hospivision time once again, as is usual on this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. And I'm sure that you are looking forward to what we have, because I have somebody who's achieved quite something that amazed me, and her name is Pearl Skeltema. Pearl, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for inviting me. What a privilege.
Pearl, you're the CEO at Fitzon Estates, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Almost 40 years.
40 years, wow, that's a long time.
Correct.
Tell me, Pearl, you guys have had a company, have had a very special project going. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes, I would like to tell you. First of all, I need to tell everybody that I told God quite a while ago not to bother me with all of these projects and people that need help. I've been hurt, the company has been hurt, and I've decided rather to look the other way. But okay. On the 13th of September 2024, we had a belated spring day at the office, and our big boss, Mr. Peter Fitzgerald, arranged for a nice braai. And afterwards, there was quite some food left over, and we were all in high spirits. And the boss walked up to me, and he said to me, listen, I want you to make sure that this food reaches someone that really needs it. Wow. I was rather stunned. I didn't know what to do. I went home with these buckets in the back of my car. I said to my husband, what now? And he said, all right, so now we buy containers, we cook some rice, we add all of this nice together to make some plates. And by Sunday afternoon at noon, we had 28 containers with a very nice lunch. And I said, all right, so how do we go about this? I never thought of praying about it, I have to admit. He said, all right, he has an idea. Somewhere in Claremont, Pretoria West, there's a house with a few Wendy's at the back. It's called Plankiesdorp, and he thinks it would be a good idea to go there. So we went, and the minute we came down that driveway, and I saw what state this place is in. But all of the people had smiles on their faces. And when I got out of the car, and those little children grabbed my leg and said, hello, Tani, welcome. I just knew this was the right thing. And we handed out the food. They were extremely thankful. And as we left, God did not speak to me. He screamed and he said, these people need your help. And I said, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this alone. At the time when we delivered the food, I didn't realize that there were 92 people, of which 40 approximately were children. And I said, it's simply impossible. I wouldn't be able to do it. And God kept on at the back of my head. These people need help. Make their Christmas a little better. I can't give them new homes. I can't give all of them jobs. But if we could make their life a little bit better for a few days, why not? And then Sunday night, I said to God, okay, you were screaming. I couldn't help but hear. So I'm here. I'm listening. But I need guarantees. I'm going to do what Gideon says. I'm going to put my sheepskin outside. Tomorrow morning, if it's wet and all around is dry, I know that I should do this. And my sign must be that I need help. So Pastor Peter Barnard came for his usual Monday counseling session at Fitzon Estates, our prayer meeting. And afterwards, we had a staff meeting. And I said, if any of my staff members would say, no, we're too busy, no, we don't want to do this, we don't want to get involved, I know this is not for us. But if I do get some help from them, I know this is the right thing to do. Wow. So we had the meeting, and I was simply speechless. The minute I mentioned where we were, what we did, what ideas I have, 30 people jumped in with ideas. With things that can be done, people they know they can contact. And I was just sitting there listening. I didn't do anything. And this project was launched. I can't begin to tell you how good people are. I simply didn't think there were people still out there that has these open hearts and willingness to give for those in need. We've had sponsorships from Caring Daisies. I think we received 10, 25 kilograms of mealie meal. We received cash donations. We received bags and bags and bags of clothing, of bedding, of kitchen stuff. There was a gentleman, I am not sure of the company, but that provided us with 28 10-kilogram bags of nutritional powder, which you mix either with milk or water, which contains everything a person needs. We received toys. One of my rivals in the industry said, "Leave the girls to me. I'll make sure that each little girl has her own Christmas gift." Another selling agent in Montana said, "Leave the boys to me. I'll make sure that every boy gets a gift of his own." It was simply amazing. Another rival of us, the lady arrived at my office. I didn't even send her a WhatsApp to inform of this project. She heard from someone else, and she arrived there with over 300 tins of food. I honestly can't begin to tell you how great this was. It felt like I did nothing. I said, "God, give me help," and He did everything. So we gathered all of this. It took some effort to have the clothing sorted, to know who stays in which Wendy house and what sizes they wear and how many people stays there. This was done over a few Saturdays with the help of my staff members. It was actually great fun. And the big delivery took place on Saturday, the 14th of December. My, oh my, absolutely nothing went wrong. We left the office with two trucks and a trailer, and each household received clothing. They received a huge box with unperishable foods. We had a vegetable hamper for each of them. We had Christmas gifts for the children, and it was just a joyous day. One of my staff members, Tanya Verster, I made sure that she calls all the kids to one side to tell them what Christmas is really about. But I don't think they heard. Their eyes were so stuck on those bright-colored bags. But nevertheless, it was an absolute amazing experience. And it taught me to listen to God, not to wait until He screams. And if He says, "I'll do this," He certainly does. So I also want to make use of this opportunity to thank all our sponsors and all the people who donated and all the people who just came out of nowhere to say, "Where can we help? How can we help?" It was just absolutely awesome. And I said, this is the last time. But we are now in March. And my phone doesn't stop ringing, and I receive messages from all over. So God has not shown us yet exactly where we need to lend a hand. But I'm sitting with a store, a container full of clothing that still needs to be distributed. And I'm sure if I start up with my WhatsApps, my usual clients or the previous ones we'll jump in again, and I can just trust God to lead the way.
And even your competition will jump in.
They do. Yeah. They do. They actually asked me. Two of them said they didn't participate in donations, said, "Can we assist the next time?" Which is absolutely amazing.
So that wasn't the end. You're going on and you're doing more and more.
I suppose so. This was not the intention, but yes, I think this is what God is expecting of us, to give back.
What a testimony. Yeah, it's such a testimony that a secular organization is actually jumping in and doing God's work.
It is amazing. Yeah. It is amazing.
No, I want to congratulate you. I think that is absolutely mind-boggling to hear that God is blessing a company in this way. And I do believe that your company will be blessed in a material way as well as in a spiritual way. For what you are doing, for being obedient to God. I think let's think on that, what you're doing, and we pray for your
thank you.
And for your company as well. And I think let's pray for you right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you have heard what is happening. You have seen, you've been part of it all, of all this great testimony, because you are a great God. And so we want to pray, Lord, that this project will be blessed even more in the future. Thank you, Father, for people who are willing to step out in faith, people who are willing to participate, and we just praise you for that. Thank you for using Fitzhan Estates to begin such a project, and we pray your blessing on it now, on each one that is involved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I've been talking to Pearl Skeltemer from Fitzhan Estates about a project that the company has launched, and just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. The program is Hospi Vision, and it's time for our devotion. And I'd like to just share with you about two little dachshund that I have, vorswinkies, that I have as pets, and they taught me a very special lesson. I call it dog psychology. When they want attention and some love, they lie down in front of me and roll over and show me their tummies. And of course, they want me to scratch their tummies. But have you ever thought about the background to this? When a dog rolls over like that, it displays the most vulnerable part of its body, the stomach. In nature, we see that the predators often go first for the animal's stomach, because if they can rip open the stomach, the animal will die, and they have won. Therefore, when my dog lies on its back, it's telling me that it trusts me. It exposes its most vulnerable part to me, which means that it trusts me not to hurt it. We can also do that for God. We can open ourselves up and reveal our innermost secrets, our pain and our secret sin to Him, because we can trust Him. Today, Pearl shared with us about a community that is at its most vulnerable. I would quite understand if these people were wary of strangers coming in. They are vulnerable and can so easily be hurt again by people's prejudices, by people's hatred. And that is why we should react to vulnerable people with love and compassion. Jesus made a point about this in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. It says there, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" This is the guideline that Jesus gives us, so that we can know what we should do and how we can share the love in his heart with people that really need it. Pearl and the company did just that. The provision they gave was a sign of love and caring. They didn't just do it to the people. They did it to Jesus. That is what Jesus said. The question for me and you today is, what are we doing to Jesus? Not for Jesus, but to him. I would like to challenge you to follow Fitzhan's example, and by doing to the vulnerable and needy what you would like to do to Jesus. In other words, to share in love and compassion. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we confess that our lives are too often self-centered. We know that we need to do more to our vulnerable and needy friends as a testimony of your love. We know we need to step out in faith and do something. Please help us to share your love in this way, whether by emotional or by physical support. We pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to just enjoy the music that I'm going to play for you now.